I don't care what your mess is in your life. I don't care how bad you were raised. I don't care what abuse you've gone through.
Dr. Tony Evans says God has what it takes to keep your past in your past.
There is more grace than your mess. There is more grace than your problem.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Keeping up our national defenses has always been a priority, but Dr. Evans says we don't always pay enough attention to our personal spiritual security. So today he explains how grace can reinforce your resistance to the enemy. Let's join him.
Many of you today are at war. You have a fortress. You have been captured. You are a POW. Satan has got you, and everything you have tried has not been able to get him to let you go. Some of us are obviously incarcerated by the evil one. Drug addiction is a stronghold. It's where your flesh has been captured by a chemical agent so that it craves it, and no matter how much you try, you can't let it go. Some are codependent. There are people or a person in your life who has captured you and who holds you hostage. For some of you, it could be parents who have long since died, but whose influence in the way they have raised you has not allowed you to go free. Some of you entered into the Christian faith abused, incest, rape, and Satan has been able to capture you and hold you hostage because no matter how hard you run, you've not been able to break away from that vice grip that holds you hostage. That's a stronghold. Some of us don't have obvious strongholds. They're private strongholds. We have them. We've just been able to cover them. They're strongholds of the mind. Sexual addiction, pornography, for example, is a stronghold of the mind. Illicit activity captures our minds, and we're unable to unlock ourselves from it. No matter how many times we say we're not going to buy the magazine, we keep buying and keep thumbing through it. No, how many times we say we're not going to watch the show, we keep turning it on because we have been captured by a stronghold of the mind. A stronghold is a mindset that accepts a situation as unchangeable, even though we know it's against the will of God. Something that captures you and you see no way out. You're caught, but you want to escape. It is unfortunate that Christians have been duped into believing that if you have a stronghold, you're supposed to have it, that there's no way out. I have tried to explain for all of us that we are in a war that's run by angels. Your battle is against angels, not people. We want to blame people for our strongholds. People cannot make something a stronghold. They can set you up for you to make it a stronghold. Because what makes a stronghold is that it's got your mind. And while people can make it accessible to you, while people can encourage you in it, they cannot force you. It's like the man who said, "My wife made me hit her." No, she didn't. She just set it up for your lack of self-control to express itself. A stronghold is where you are captured in your mind. People say, "Well, if they didn't have all that junk on TV and all that junk in the movies, I wouldn't have my problem." No, you don't understand. Your problem is your problem. The TV just sets you up so it can reveal how messed up you are. And we want to spend time blaming others rather than getting rid of the stronghold that we have. It's spiritual. And one of the reasons that you haven't been able to get rid of it is because you have not addressed it spiritually. You cannot fight a spiritual battle using weapons of the flesh. You can't do it. That which is born of flesh is flesh, John 3 says, and that which is born of spirit is spirit, and never the twain shall meet. And so my task is to try, as simply as I know how, for my benefit and for yours, for us, to address the question, how do I overcome, in light of all that I've learned about spiritual warfare, the personal stronghold in my life, or if you don't have one, how you can help another brother or sister or family member who knows Jesus Christ to overcome a personal stronghold in their life, a mindset that sees as unchangeable that which is against the will of God. Number one, the first thing you must do if you're going to get out of the vice grip of the mind that is holding you hostage, no matter what it is to remember your position in Christ. That little statement can set you on a road of deliverance that you can't imagine. That little statement can set you free from things that have been dogging you for 25 years. No matter what other help you get, if you do not remember your position in Christ, then you are barking up the wrong tree. Let me review your position. Ephesians 2:6 says this. He has raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ. You have been elevated to a position with Christ, who is now enthroned over the heavenly realm. And that's where you are. He says, in light of that, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. We have too many earthly Christians, and that's why we don't have more supernatural deliverance. If your mind is set on an earthly solution, then you won't be able to get a heavenly response. He says Jesus Christ is not down here. He has been raised and enthroned in heaven. And therefore, heaven must be the place where you access your solution. Why? Same book of Colossians says in verse 9 of chapter 2, for in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Jesus is God. And in him you have been made complete. He is the head over all rule and authority. He oversees the angels, good and bad. Verse 15 says, and he has disarmed the rulers and authorities. He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Jesus has already beaten the devil. The devil and his angels are the source of your problem. If you are going to beat the evil environment that is the source of your problem, you have to hook up with somebody who can whip them. And you can't. So then, what does it mean to remember your position in Christ? Here it is. Your position as a child of God, if you're truly saved, in Jesus Christ, get this now, gives you legal authority over Satan. See, you're not praying with me. Your position in Christ, having been raised with him and seated with him in the heavenly places, gives you legal authority over the angelic realm. Legal authority. Jesus Christ has granted you, listen to me, legal authority, so that You can simply tell the angelic realm that attacks you, you no longer have any rights over my life. And I bet you a lot of us have never tried that. We have never tried stating, when under attack, that that is an illegitimate attempt to place on me that which you have no right, because I have been legally set free by Christ. That simple remembrance of your position. Satan does not want you to remember that you've been elevated higher than him in Christ. He doesn't want you to remember that. Because if he can get you to forget who you are, then he knows you will never call on your legal rights. You have legal rights in heavenly places, and it's terrible to have a law passed on your behalf that you never benefit from. You have legal rights in heaven.
And realizing that is an important factor in combating the enemy's influence in your life. Dr. Evans will have more to say about that in just a moment. First, though, I want to tell you about a great resource we're recommending as a way to follow up on today's study, Tony's brand new book, Warfare. It'll teach you how to tell when the problems you're facing aren't just problems, but spiritual battles you can't possibly win without using God's tools and tactics. And as you learn to do that, you'll start seeing yourself turn from a victim into a victor. We want to help you start fighting the right battles with the right weapons. So for a few more days, we're offering a copy of Warfare as our thank you gift to anyone who can help us keep Tony's teaching on this station by making any donation, no matter the amount. We'll also include a copy of all 12 full-length lessons in his current series on spiritual warfare. The Alternative is a 100% listener-supported broadcast, so we depend completely on you to stay on the air. Visit TonyEvans.org right away to get details and take advantage of this special offer before time runs out on Friday. That's TonyEvans.org, or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. It never closes, so there's no need to wait. That's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will be back right after this.
Our neighborhoods are in trouble, and our children are at risk, especially in urban areas. Even those who want to make a difference don't always know how, but Dr. Tony Evans does through his National Church Adopt-a-School Initiative.
We're trying to get communities transformed all over America through church-school partnerships. If a church adopts a school and provides mentoring, tutoring, and family support services, and if we impact those kids and their parents, then that's community, church, school, and family.
It's a proven plan that's been replicated in hundreds of congregations and communities across the country.
And it's a way of not only evangelizing, it's a way of giving people a better life, but the church is at the forefront. It's the head, not the tail.
Discover how the National Church Adopt-a-School Initiative can connect your church to the community you serve. Come to our live training event October 11th at Tony's Church in Dallas, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. Your church leadership team couldn't make a better investment of time, so do whatever it takes to get them here. Get more details and sign up online at TonyEvans.org.
Last week I was watching a football game, and one of the players got upset at a referee for a call that he made. The player was twice as big as the referee, probably 10 times as strong as the referee. And he was angry, and he went at the referee. And he did the unthinkable and the unacceptable. He bumped him. And they have gotten very strict. You don't put your hands or any part of your body on the referee or the umpire, depending on what sport it is. When you touch him, he has legal rights. Even though he's smaller than you, even though you're bigger than him, even though you've got on all this equipment, on all he has on is a t-shirt and a pair of pants. The referee reached in his back pocket, pulled out a yellow flag and flung it up in the air, started waving his hands up and down like this, and sent the player boogieing. Told him, you are out of here. But wait a minute. How can a little puny guy who can't lift half the weight of the football player, who has no equipment to protect himself. How dare he throw a flag up in the face of a 300-pounder? Where did he get the power? Where did he get the strength? Where did he get the confidence? It was all legal. It had nothing to do that he was stronger than the player, more built than the player, more protected than the player, had more weight than the player. He just had more legal authority than the player. Brothers and sisters, Satan is bigger than you. He's been lifting weights longer than you. He's got on more equipment than you. But you got a flag in your back pocket based on Jesus Christ. You have legal rights. And when the umpire threw, when the ref threw the flag, you heard nothing more from the player because the power of the ref legally was more potent than the strength of the player physically. And the power of the believer who uses his legal rights in heavenly places is more potent than the power of Satan. You have legal rights. We not only don't use our rights, we forget we even have the flag in the back pocket. And so we have the right to say to the evil one, when he brings up our past, when he tells us we can't help it, you liar. You a liar. You are a liar because I got papers. Colossians 2 says, Jesus has triumphed over you and I'm with him. I have legal rights. Remember your position in Christ. You have rights now in heaven. Satan don't want you to remember that because he knows he must respond to that authority because it comes from Christ. Secondly, while you remember your position, you must rely on God's provision. Turn with me to James 4. Let me read verse 6. But he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Do you remember me telling you this whole battle is about grace? Listen to that phrase. He gives greater grace. Greater than what? Greater than the mess you in. I don't care what your mess is in your life. I don't care how bad you were raised. I don't care what abuse you've gone through. I'm not undermining it. I'm not saying it didn't affect you. I'm not saying it wasn't serious. I'm not saying you don't have to deal with it. All I'm saying is he gives greater grace. There is more grace than your mess. There is more grace than your problem. The way God has decided to fix the mess that we bring to him is by giving greater grace. You say, but I was abused. He's got greater grace. You say, but I was misused. But he gives greater grace. But you don't understand. I've been addicted for years. Yeah, but take up all the years of your addiction, add them together, and the verse still says he gives greater grace. God has an inexhaustible supply of goodness to overcome whatever accumulation of mess you've made. And a lot of us have more mess than we can even remember. He can take the mess you remember, the mess you forgot, put it all together, and he still gives greater grace. That is his inexhaustible supply. You must remember your position, but you must use his provision. How do I get this grace? If he's given this goodness that is greater than my mess, how do I get it? He lines it out for us. He says in verse 7, submit to God. Submit to God. Submit to God. What does it mean to submit to God? I am submitted to God. No, you're not. Stop lying. Because if you were submitted to God, you wouldn't do what they were doing in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. What are the sources of your quarrels? and conflicts among you, and the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members. You lust and do not have. You commit murder, and you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You're not submitting to God if you're still fighting for yourself. If you're still trying to make it happen for yourself, you're not submitted to God. If you're still trying to make it, if you still get up in the morning and say, I am not going to do this anymore, you're not submitted to God, you're submitted to you. Because you're telling you how strong you are not to do it anymore. If you were that strong, we wouldn't have a problem in the first place. We got the problem because we're not submitted to God. Now, part of this is the fault of the pulpit, and I'll tell you why. Because oftentimes the definition of the word submit is not fully given. And so if I'm guilty of that, I want to apologize and I want to give you the two sides of submission. If you're going to be submitted to God because you want greater grace, well, then the word submit has two components, and you have to understand both in order to submit. The first component of submit is the word surrender. Normally, when people say submit, they use another synonym, commit. But we commit without surrender. I may give an invitation, and when I do, I say, anybody wants to commit themselves to Christ, come down. And you may come down and say, well, I'm going to not do this anymore, and I'm going to not do that anymore, and I'm going to make a commitment, and you really mean it, but then you go out and fall flat on your face. Why? Because commitment can't work unless it's preceded by surrender. You say, well, what is the definition of surrender? Surrender says to God, I can't. Surrender says to God, I am unable. Surrender says, I am too weak. Surrender says, I am not able to live up to your expectation. When a man surrenders in a war, he says, I quit. When a team surrenders, they throw out the white flag and they say, I lost. The Bible teaches if you're going to get greater grace from God, you must surrender yourself. You must throw up the white flag and say, I can't. What a lot of us do when we commit is say, I can. We say, I will. I have the power to. If you had the power, you would need greater grace. It begins with surrender, which says, I am unable to fulfill that which is necessary to get me out of the mess I've gotten myself or somebody else has gotten me. I am so weak. I am so anemic, I am so unable, I fall flat on my face before you because I need help. Surrender. Because once you surrender, then God can take over.
Dr. Tony Evans, reminding us that victory involves less trying and more trusting. Due to time limitations, there's more to today's message than we were able to bring you on the air. But as always, full-length copies are available. Just check with us for information on the title, Tearing Down Personal Strongholds. Or better yet, ask about getting a copy of our current series on spiritual warfare, a set of 12 messages that'll help you readjust your spiritual armor. As I mentioned earlier, it's yours with our thanks when you make a donation of any amount toward Tony's ministry, along with a copy of his brand new book called Warfare. Call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 and get details today before this special offer runs out. That's 1-800-800-3222 or visit our website at tonyevans.org. When you do, check to see when Tony might be coming to a city near you this fall for a great event called Without Walls. You'll get to hear his powerful preaching in person and enjoy worship with his son Anthony. Learn more and get tickets online at tonyevans.org. Well, next time, Dr. Evans outlines three specific steps we need to take to break free from the habits and history that are turning us into spiritual prisoners of war. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.